And we are going to turn in the Scriptures to the last book in the Bible, please. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And we will begin reading at the beginning of the chapter. Revelation 21 and the first verse. Let us consider what is revealed to us by the Spirit of God. Revelation 21:1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Amen. We end our reading there with the eighth verse. And we trust that the Lord today will cause us to see by His Spirit in the Word, for it was the same Holy Spirit who gave the Word to the Apostle John. I trust that God will minister to all our hearts. We are considering just a very small portion of what we've read today, and that is in verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. On this little line of hills known as Trinity Mountain, there is an antique mall to the south of us. And some people go in there and spend hours. There is a type of person that just enjoys looking at old stuff. And many people could rummage through such places for not only hours, but days. Now, other people are much happier just to go to Walmart and buy everything new that do not bear signs of time and wear. Well, I don't know where you fit in on that. I like old books about history and theology, but I'm very happy with the newly published volumes of these old books being brought out today by so many publishers. I could spend hours in those old musty bookstores, or I could spend hours in those new bookstores where And everything smells fresh and clean. Well, our text for this morning in verse 5a says, "He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new." New things. We have come today into a new year. And I know that many of you actually saw the clock change. Where it said, what does it say, 010112 on your cell phone, and then 1200 a.m. And some of us actually saw that, even though we weren't gathered together here. And we have a new year. But here is one who says he makes all things new. So I ask, first of all, who is this one? Who is this one sitting on the throne? If you go down to verse 6, as he is speaking, he continues and he said, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." So he is the Alpha and Omega. If you turn over to the next chapter, chapter 22, verse 13, even go back to verse 12 of chapter 22. "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." Verse 15, "For without are dogs, outside are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches." He said, "I, Jesus," that name that is hated by so many, it is the Lord Jesus Christ that is sitting on the throne. It is he who says, "Behold, I make all things new." Now, what does he claim? He claims in that declaration, "Behold, I make all things." He claims to be the maker of all things that exist and all that have life. And he goes farther than that. He says, "Behold, I make all things new." But I interject a question. Why does he, by whom all things consist, why is it necessary for him to make all things new? So we have 3 points in that verse. First of all, behold, I make all things. He is the creator or the generator of all things. Secondly, he makes all things new. So there was a problem. Wasn't everything that he made at first pronounced good? What necessitates making all things new? Behold, man has made all things ugly. Man is the corrupter. And I say man is the degenerator. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the generator, the maker of all things. And man has made things corrupt and ugly. Man is the degenerator. And then thirdly, behold, I make all things new. He is not only the generator or the creator, he is the regenerator. So we'll consider these things. First of all, behold, I make all things. Behold, here is something worth noting. Here is something very important to consider. So the word is interjected, behold. You must see this. You must look into this matter. John chapter 1 and verse 1. All things. John chapter 1 verse 3, that is. All things were made by Him. Who is Him? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So He is the Maker of all things. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Generator. The word for make is very interesting here. It is the root word for our English word, poem. So God was making all things beautiful, making all things poetical, which had, by man's corruption, later on, they had been made into tragedies. But God made all things beautiful. He made all things lovely and poetical, holy and happy. What if man had not sinned? How beautiful this world still would be. Can you imagine a world without death? We were singing that fifth verse of that last song we were singing right before the message, when death shall interrupt these songs. And death has interrupted so many homeschool moms and homeschool dads, so many others, even outside of that community. In recent months, there have been so many interruptions. We know in the last month or so, we have considered dear ones in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ who suddenly were taken in death in the last month. Well, imagine a world without death. If man had not sinned, well, that's nice to think about. What would it have been like with the multitudes of godly people not seeing death? What would happen? Would there have been the regular waiting their turns to be removed from this scene of time into glory as Elijah was carried up in a chariot of fire? I don't know. Oh, how happy the human family would be if there had been no sin. Every man would be a holy priest, and every home would be a holy temple. What joyful songs would be constantly going up from the earth to heaven, even at midnight. But we not only behold the glorious creation, that which the Lord made so poetical and so lovely, but we behold the sad reality. Sin has ruined this beautiful creation. In this sense, man is the degenerator. Though the Lord Jesus Christ is the great generator who has made all things, man is the degenerator. There was a crafty serpent. There was a hateful devil, and there was an unconfirmed man that spoiled the perfect paradise for us all. Now this once beautiful world has become a horrible world. It was Queen Elizabeth, the one who is still living, who said she named one of her years Annus Horribilis. It was a horrible year for her. Well, the world, the earth, has turned into a horrible place because of sin. We thank God for the loveliness of this day. We thank God for the freedom that we have in this land. But what we are enjoying here is not enjoyed all over the planet. There are people running for their lives today. There are people that are hiding in fear because of sin in this world. Physically, the earth can still boast so many beautiful places, lovely mountains and breathtaking valleys and shimmering lakes. But morally, the earth is a horrible place. Hatred, bloodshed, oppression, tyranny, cruelty. And we hear of such savage and barbaric crimes that are even being committed against little children in our country. These things bring such awful sorrow and mourning and grief to multitudes. The depraved hearts and lust of sinners continue to devise all kinds of forms of filth that were once even unimaginable. Can you relate to that? That there are actually things that our parents wouldn't, and our grandparents, though gone now, so many of them, would not have even imagined possible. And yet, the human heart and lust of sinners continue to devise forms of filth that were once unimaginable on this planet. The horrors of war cover the centuries of history as nation has risen against nation and sacrificed their finest manhood on the fields of blood and carnage. Many were hopeful that the last century would usher in the golden age of love and world peace, the 20th century. But it turned out to be the bloodiest century in history. Those hopes that so many people had at the end of the 19th century were dashed and shattered to pieces. The world wars and the creation of weapons that could destroy millions just like that. Wow. How many engineers have over the years racked their brains to discover new ways to kill, to mangle, and to ruin their fellow human beings? Quickly and suddenly. But thanks be to God, the story does not end there. Revelation 21 verse 5 shines forth a beacon of hope in such a dark world. Christ declares, "Behold, I make all things new." All things new. He has not only power to create and to generate, He carefully has restrained man, the corrupter, who has ceaselessly worked to degenerate what God made so good. But thank God, Christ has power. But that's not all. He promises to regenerate all things. All things. And the word for new is a very lovely word in Revelation 21:5. It means a freshly made new creation. New heavens and a new earth. He promises that from east to west and from north to south, there will be a new world. All injustice. Now, just consider this. All injustice, envy, oppression, and tyranny is going to end. So I say, all of the wicked had better enjoy their little time that they have. For our Lord Jesus Christ is going to put new hearts into the kings of the earth. And the righteous will flourish as the knowledge of the Lord covers the earth as the waters cover the sea. Now, how can this be? How can such a thing be? Our Lord started the process of regeneration and changing the world by establishing a new covenant. The old covenant of works was weak because of human nature, and that human nature that fell so sadly. And that human nature has proven incapable of fulfilling the command, "This do, and thou shalt live." That covenant, instead of being a covenant of life for us, became the sentence of death for all humanity. But thank God, the new covenant is based soundly on what Christ has accomplished. All that He has accomplished for His people in His perfect life and by His sacrificial death. On that cross of shame and agony, in that awful suffering that He bore in our behalf, the Lord Jesus Christ, by His blood, has paid the full penalty for all of our sins, for all of our iniquities. Now, what does he require? What does he ask? What does he command? He commands all men everywhere to repent. Repentance. He commands us to believe on the Son. He commands us to trust in Him. But this repentance and this faith, they're not only commanded, they are freely given. They are gifts of His grace. He is the one who so freely bestows these gifts upon His people. He is the one who created us. And He is the one who recreates us, who makes us new. He gives us a new heart and a new spirit He puts within us. The promise is in Ezekiel 36, 26. I'm going to give them a new heart and a new spirit. I'm going to put it in them. What a blessing to have a new heart and a new spirit put into us. This is the greatest work. The greatest work of Christ is the new creation. You think about the first creation. There was no opposition. He simply spoke and it was done. He said the word and it stood fast. But in the new creation, in making all things new, there is the opposition of Satan, of sin, of human depravity. And it took a lot more than just speaking the word. Christ had to come clothed in human flesh to defeat all of these enemies in the very nature that sinned. Now think about that. That's an important point. What kind of nature was it that sinned in the Garden of Eden? It was an unfallen nature that sinned. Then it became a fallen nature. But what kind of nature did Christ defeat all of our enemies in an unfallen, perfectly holy nature? Praise God. Well, there is opposition against the Lord Jesus Christ making all things new. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. Romans 8, 7. But by His cross work, Christ conquered all His and our enemies. Now from the highest throne where the great King sits, He simply speaks and He releases the captives. He bestows the new nature. Wow. And what does a new nature do? A new nature loves God and loves righteousness. He gives a new name, a new home, and He puts a new song in our mouths, even praise to our God. He promises a new body to replace these corrupted and corrupting bodies of ours. He's going to give us this new body at the resurrection. How does He make all things new? How does He renovate society? How can He do this? He does it by renovating the individual members that compose society one at a time. We say that's awful slow, but praise God, there are times when He pours out His Spirit in a large measure, in times of awakening and revival, and He can suddenly save thousands and even millions. He gives us a new relationship with Him so that we find bliss in what we once considered boredom. We rejoice at what we once thought were simply idle tales. We have a new citizenship. We are citizens of heaven. Philippians 3:20. We have a new appetite and a new thirst. We hunger and thirst after righteousness. And righteousness is not a thing. It is a person. Jehovah said, can you? The Lord, our righteousness. We hunger and thirst after Him. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. We have a new thirst, a new hunger. Oh, that God would even today create some new creatures in this gathering. We have come into this new year, but 10,000 times better it is to come into this new creation and this new relationship with Christ than it is to come simply into a new year. Oh, that He would give some of you today the divine spark of spiritual and eternal life, for He is the gracious giver. Cry out to Him today, oh Lord, make me a new creation. If you ask Him, if you ask Him sincerely and honestly, He will make you into a new creature. Parents, you may have prayed for your children for years. Well, pray to Him now. Oh, Lord, make my child new. Christ said, behold, I make all things new. Here is something to look at. Here is something to even stare at and to ponder and consider. It's real. Let us pray for ourselves and for those around us. Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make them new. In this new year, may the Lord enable us to see many made new in Christ Jesus. This world is old, and there is much ancient history. There are so many relics from the ancient past, and we treasure so many old things. And there are many old people. The Lord has seen fit that a lot of our senior citizens are living to be 100 now and even beyond. But in such an environment, what does our Savior say? Our Savior has all power and will do exactly as He said. Behold, I make all things new. Let us pray. Oh God, we come to Thee in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is there as the Lamb in the midst of the throne. And Lord, we pray that for His sake, Thou wilt cause us in this year, 2012, to know the mighty power of the new creation, making all things new. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt give us more and more of the precious gift of faith. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt be pleased to grant to our nation and even to our poor, benighted leaders the sovereign gift of repentance. O Lord, send us a great baptism of repentance. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's